And welcome to the Half Guard. I'm your host, Smuggle Host Dan. How you doing, Dan?
We're doing great. We're doing fantastic.
If you listen to last week's show, we're not going to follow through because I went to a wedding and I had to rewatch Game 7. But I can report back, Savannah, maybe one of the best teams in the South.
Savannah, George.
I would say better than...
It's not better than Murder Capital, North Carolina.
What is? But we will be talking present-day NBA. I think we're also going to run over the Wild 76ers. We're going to take a look into the Baltimore high school sports scene and maybe a little bit more. Because, Dan, we've got a lot of sports news.
Yeah, it's a sports. It's a newsy. It's a newsy week. And it's especially a weird news.
Is it fair to say sports is back?
Oh, yeah. Sports is back in a sports big way.
And the Stanley Cup feels like a thing people are paying attention to.
Yeah, because it's just so... It would be very, very good for Las Vegas and just make every single Canadian fan sad.
But and for DC, though, because you have this kind of the Atlanta Brave. So, like, storyline-wise, and the games are pretty good. I haven't watched one, but I've understood that they've been very well.
Well, nobody has. Like, they were on the Weather Channel or something.
Some channel called MB. I think they had some shows in the 90s. Really watches it.
Sure.
And The Odds. People forget The Office.
Yeah, people all the time are forgetting The Office, and
I think they forget then it was on NBC. But like,
yeah, it's just easy to forget those.
Like, NBC, though, like, people always say this network died. But, like, really, NBC, though, like, had the second run. It's kind of like your WWE, where they had the boom period in 05 through, like, 08 or whatever. NBC had a boom as well with The Office, Parks and Rec. At least critically, The Office, I think, was more ratings.
Yeah, Parks and Rec was never as big as The Office. More people, like, people online.
You know? Yeah. Well, I feel like, too, though, like, Parks and Rec got the bigger hit. But look, probably kind of like The Office, it came to Netflix, became, like, more popular or mainstream. Because, like, I know a lot of Parks and Rec who definitely, it's kind of a little something up.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Let's hop right into it. Let's talk our boy, Brian Kalinske.
God, Hinkie's such a shithead.
Because this was Hinkie that figured this out. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering that it came from The Ringer, which has always been, like, nerd, like, they've always had, like, Simmons has always had that close association with every, like, nerd person in basketball.
He goes to the secret conference.
He was going to that before everybody else, you know, who was, like, a straight writer. So it's just, like, it's very clear where it came from, and it's just, like, Sam Hinkie has so little self-awareness, and, like, Hinkie doesn't realize that shit like this is why he'll never get.
Yeah.
Like, Hinkie.
But does he,
like,
care?
Yeah, he very clearly cares.
Does he want another job, Dan? Or
he wants to be back with Philadelphia. He's never going to get that job, ever.
No. But I feel
he's
like,
never going to get any job, ever again. Never working in a front office.
But I feel like more like he's the type of guy who's, like, so dumb, he would rather just get praised. Like, he's a guy who would rather get likes.
He's Elon Musk without all the money. Yes. Like, Elon Musk has enough money to buy them, and instead he sits around, like, obsessing over whether, like, you know, Long Knives 1488 retweets it, you know. It's just, that's the kind of dude Elon Musk is. And it's like, Hinkie just wants, like, have people in the press talk about how big his brain is and how the process is really why Philadelphia is right back in the same position they were before he blew up the team. They're like a fifth-place team that has no chance to win anything. But, man, look at how brilliant Hinkie was getting them to that point.
You know what's funny, though? Really, the last guy they got, Simmons, to me will be, like, the only real difference.
Yeah, like, Okafor's already might as well be gone.
Okafor's gone. New Orleans Noel, that was the start. I mean, they did get rid of the kind of work from there.
Like, of the four big guys he drafted, two of them.
Yeah.
And one of them is, like, a role player at bat. So, like, he got four picks at a top five pick and got one dude who's a legitimate, like build a team around him.
Yeah, because, like, I think the playoffs kind of exposed him. Big men don't. Big men, like...
He drafted, like, three big men when the whole world has figured out that, like, big men don't mean...
And the big... Especially when you look over, like, some of the guys in retrospect. I think we're going to see, like, in this year's draft, too, where teams take big men way too early. Like, I look at the Suns, and, like, they're probably going to end up being dumb, like, being Aiden over Doncic, when it's just, like, that's not where the league's going, man. And, like, the best big man in the draft, to me, that's the guy I want. That's the one big, this type of big man I could make a difference and hit some outside.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be on the court, you have to be able to, period.
But let's go,
like,
into
you can't play in the NBA anymore. But it's just watching, like, to go more into Brian Colangelo has been running or co-running multiple burner accounts where he shits on various.
Yeah.
And then sometimes offers weird constructive criticism and like, don't worry, man. Organization has your back. What the fuck?
And defends his, well, it's probably his wife.
His wife defending his shitty collars that look ridiculous. And it's just like.
He's probably going to get fired over it.
Oh, yeah. And he'll never work. He'll probably get a job as like a mid-level executive. His dad, like nepotism. His dad was a GM for so many years in the NBA. He'll probably get some kind of like.
Oh, and don't forget,
too,
Bastion, Gabriel.
Absolutely. He might, like the NBA might hire him in the league office because it's like, well.
Or USA basketball.
Like some like fail son hideaway job. But like, he's never going to be able to run an organization or be in a position where he has to deal with players because then none of them are ever going to trust him. Like, he has totally blown that.
Yeah. I mean, your star player, Embiid, we kind of bashed him a little, but he is a big D76ers, was making fun of him on Twitter. I came back to Twitter. That's the type of Twitter I miss.
Yeah, you just miss, like a former a star of children's television being ethered because he just picked on the wrong dude. Like, just what? Like, he just really thought he was, like, a serious guy. Just blew up in his face.
Yeah. Well, especially with, like, you know, I think referring to the Drake thing. Like, just ran into a guy who literally, like, did.
And who just hates him.
Yeah. Which, like, most people tend to do. Like, I think to do a poll. I think most people deep down inside don't.
I mean, all I know about Drake is that he did that meme where he danced. Or, like, he's, like, saying no to something, but then he's, like, smiling at something else.
Yeah.
He did Old Man Dancing in the video where that meme came from, and he used to be in a wheelchair on a children's television show in Canada. Well,
and he did blackface.
Blacker face, somehow.
He's added that to his resume. And is a shitty dad. Get that cold for
him. Well, aren't all shitty dads?
Not our boy, Mick Jagger. You see what he does on Instagram? He comments on his kid. Like, one picture was his kid, like, at the beach, the tide coming in. He posted, watch out for the... Or like another picture was like his son with a bunch of friends, a concert. He wrote, "Have fun, tree emoji." And I'm just like, he's just the best. The Twitter dad. I mean, he's a social media dad. Is where Mick Jagger is now, and like, it's very precious. Yeah,
it's just always very, very good for famous to suddenly be exposed. Like, that's the one thing about our social media era is that like famous people get exposed for being like utter dorks. It's like the same thing with like Elon Musk. Like 20 years ago, Elon Musk would have been like this like famous billionaire that everyone was in awe of, like Ted Turner or Rupert Murdoch or something.
Yeah.
And because we live in this new social media generation, we find out he's just a fucking dork ass. What is it that Chapo Trap House calls him? A rockabilly? He's like, ooh, daddy-o, I'm swinging boy.
Yeah, he's the guy who definitely
going down
to
the sock hop.
He's the guy who definitely got into weird late mid 90s revival. Elon Musk was like Cherry Poppin' Daddy. He was all
he's gonna rock this town, rock it inside out.
You know, it's kind of like one of the big stories in the NBA is Colangelo and the burner accounts. But Dan, do you think that would have, like? Do you think they're NFL coaches with burner accounts?
Absolutely. Yeah. I know you work in the bar, and so a lot of people, like, younger.
Not really. Most of my clientele.
Like, the people that you're, like, hanging around with while you're working.
Yeah.
Not the people, like, the people that you're, your coworkers, your colleagues, your professional compatriots.
Yes.
But, like, I work with a bunch of old people side by side, and, like, old people are all about, like, messy online drama because, like, they just now discovered the internet as, like, a source for drama.
Yeah.
Like, and so... It's nothing but, like, catty Facebook posts about how, well, your son, I mean, you know, you sent him to college and came back a cop. So how well did you? And this, it's like, you know, that's all they do is, like, cattily shit on each other on Facebook.
No, well, Dan, I was going to point this out. Like, most of my customers, if you go to a table, people are always like, oh, the millennial, the kids are always on there. No, usually it's fucking old people and fucking are on their phone.
They
like,
can't put it down.
Yeah.
They've got to like this post, or like else like Regina is going to be mad at them. They didn't like her recipe for fucking pencil cake or whatever the fuck.
That's the weirdest shit I've seen though, where like, you have like two fucking like 65-year-old people and they're just both on their phone in like a booth at a restaurant. Like,
I mean, look, it's really good to just like not have to pay attention to anybody. And,
well, especially if you've been with somebody for like 40 years. I get it.
Like, how much more do you have to tell them?
Dan, I'll get some late breaking. There's a new co-host of Man vs.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they get like some ginger looking guy replaced our boy Adam Richman.
Did Adam Richman die?
I think he. If you notice on that show, he progressively got fatter. I think he had to.
Food one. Eventually, yeah, food one.
Food and, like, heart attacks. But if you watch, like, the first The Man Food versus, like, when they had Richmond switch to, like, doing, like, team challenges for the contest or whatever, he put on easily, like, had to be 100. Like, maybe 100. Like, not just he put on 100. This dude went from, like, probably, like, 180, 190 to, like, 2. Or maybe that, you know, just wild healthy stuff. Yeah.
I mean, who would know? Who would have known that, like, eating the way they tell, like, high school linemen would be bad for your overall health?
Like, I want to do a show where I eat, like, a 5-pound. Yeah, that's probably not healthy. You know, it's always weird, though, of these who go to restaurants. How does Anthony Bourdain know?
Well, he doesn't do drugs anymore. That's even more surprising, because he used to do lots of drugs.
Yeah.
But now he doesn't.
He must be healthy, though. He's one of those guys who used to do drugs and work out or run.
He also eats, like, all that, like, which is, like, really bad for your heart. But, like, doesn't put a lot of calories.
Yeah.
It's like all, like, lard.
Oh, he's probably, too, like, getting tapeworm.
That's true.
Like, from, like, eating, like, Bangladesh.
He's just, like, this is a restaurant next to a waterfall. We don't serve drinks. You just, like, stick your head out and, like, just catch waterfall water.
And we serve. And we serve worms. Yeah. Literally just serve tapeworm. That's our spaghetti.
Sure. I mean, that, you know, and they're all, like, living. They're living, like, you eat those squid and they just, like, you know, you have to get your stomach operated on to get the squid out of it. And so they just go ahead and clean out all the food.
But bless Anthony Bourdain. He's probably the best related to me.
Well, he invented, right? Like, that was the first travel.
Was he the first one?
But I don't,
like,
I thought it was.
He traveled.
Like, he was, what was it? What was the original one? No Reservations?
No Reservations. No, yeah. And still a great show to this. I mean, Anthony Bourdain, though, he lives the best. Like, that's, to me, that's my dream. You're going to pay me to go to other countries.
Yeah, my favorite thing about Bourdain is that he was kind of like a mediocre chef who then wrote this, like, tell-all book about the life of a chef. And so now he's treated like an expert on the restaurant industry. It's like, he was like a mid-level line cook, wasn't he?
Well,
like,
well, Dan,
really fancy restaurant, sure, but. Yeah.
I've always had that theory, though. Like, people who can explain stuff the best were, like, always the worst at it. It's like the best football coaches, or any sport, really, were never the best players who didn't do as well because they understood everything. Like, nothing really came to them.
They had to. They had to understand every little detail of how things work.
It's why Belichick said he was a shitty football. I mean, he played college football, not the best.
Well, he played it in D3.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, traditionally, like I have a good friend who played deep coaching now. He's really smart at what he, but I think he's smarter because he didn't have talent. He was lower, but he was a 5'9" center. So he had to understand how better.
Absolutely.
So I think that's always like a, like, you know, we talked about Mark Richt last week. Why is he a better coach than, say, Bernie? Because he never got to play.
Yeah, he was like a third string quarterback for, he was Jim Kelly's backup in Miami. Yeah.
And look at the Harbaugh, or Spurrier's probably the.
That's not a great example. Jim Harbaugh was a rare dude in quarterback.
Him and Spurrier.
Yeah, him and Spurrier were college stars. Maybe weren't the best pros. Jim Harbaugh did have that great.
Well, it's like the mid-90s.
And he totally got screwed because he threw that Hail Mary was.
I don't even remember that because who cares about the mid-90s?
Especially in the AFC, just every year you were in your brain.
That's why, like, I've always liked the Cowboys dynasty. You're in, like, what, the 90s? Who cares? Like, well, literally no one watched football.
A lot of people watched him. A lot of people. The issue with that was that, like, basically every year, by those 90s, like, once the really good teams of the 80s kind of got old, it was basically just the Cowboys and the 49ers, because that was before the salary cap came in, spending a gajillion dollars to get every good player. And it was just like the NFC Championship decided who the world champion would be, because whoever they played from the AFC had literally, like, the Cowboys played the Bills 2 years in a row and beat them, like, a combined 120 to, like, 31.
They did have a chance, though, twice. They had a chance.
San Francisco played. Oh, the Bills played in the Super Bowl 4 in a row.
Yeah.
And then, so the 49ers finally beat the Cowboys Super Bowl, and they literally are still scoring points on that Chargers.
Yeah.
Like,
who's their quarterback, though? The Harbaugh brother?
That was Jim Kelly.
Oh, no, for the Chargers. Jim Kelly was on the team?
Oh, no, that was Stan Humphries, the inventor of the A-11 offense.
Our boy.
Like, the dumbest, gimmickiest bullshit in the history of high school football.
Who?
And think about what territory that covered.
Is that Chargers team, like, the most all-time that, like, made a championship game?
I still am surprised they did. But, like, and, like, Bobby Ross, most forgotten football history as far as a coach, he won a national championship. and then went to the NFL and went to a Super Bowl, and nobody if anybody remembers him, they remember, oh yeah, you're the guy who like caused Barry Sanders to retire because he hated you so much. It's like, this dude won a national championship. Like, how many coaches in the history of football have won a national championship and then even coached in a Super Bowl? Like,
I can't think of a...
It's like him and Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson, and that's it.
So there you go. But let's segue in the NBA Finals. Let's hit the portal. We had game two last night. But game one, just cut to the chase. Was the J.R. Smith mistake?
It was probably the funniest.
Yeah.
Because it was J.R. Smith.
Yes.
And it's like, oh man, we've been waiting for this ever since the Cavs got him like four years ago.
It gave us a meme. Gave us that gift. But also, like, when he lied at the press conference afterwards, like, just before, I think, like, Tyronn Lue said that, oh, yeah, JR said he was wrong. He lied to the press in the very next, like, had no idea that Lue. But that's funny, though, because Lue should have called a timeout as soon as he
It's absolutely Lue's fault. Like, Lue should have immediately called timeout.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make it okay that JR Smith is that much of an idiot.
Yeah.
But, like...
Well, think about all the things that had to go. Like, I think, like, the big story of, you know, out of that game was, like, how many things went wrong. Like, LeBron is a single, because he did everything right. He's like a single mom with five fucking... Because, I mean, think about before that. You had that awful where they probably shouldn't...
And the father of the kids was a dumb shit. Like, they're not five brainy.
So, like, you had the awful, the, charge call that shouldn't have been... Because it wasn't in the restone. I don't know why... Whatever. You had another time.
Also, like, judgment calls should not be...
Yeah.
Like, it's a judgment call. You can't... shit.
You had another time, I think, where LeBron had a clean strip. And, like, and then they didn't call the fucking strip. So, like, multiple times, LeBron was kind of screwed by the... kind of a...
He just gets, like... there will never be another superstar athlete who gets as little respect as LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, even the refs kind of...
Yeah.
Like, because just remember how, like, if he beat on Michael Jordan... Like late 90s Michael Jordan, if you just, like, looked at him funny, like, the refs whistled you.
How much of that is just because Adam's, like, maybe a little more hands-off?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, I think also the thing is, I'm big, that, like, he gets a little bit of, like, Shaq-itis with how he gets officiated. Where, like, because he's so big, so fast, and so, like, difficult to defend without, like, being physical back at him, it's like he's constantly held to a different standard than even other superstars at his level would.
Yeah. But I do think a little bit more of it's like David Stern was. That's like my Bill Simmons, where like Stern knew the guy. Well, Silver is just not that type of guy.
I also think the NBA is just in a different place. Like, when Michael Jordan was like the biggest star in the NBA, like nobody knew. Like, the average person didn't know an NBA player other than Michael Jordan. And so it's like, well, he better fucking win.
Yeah. And now I think the average, a few NBA. Like, even like J.R. Smith is probably well known to the
J.R. Smith is maybe more famous than Scottie Pippen. And that has nothing to do with their talent.
That kind of brings us to another point with LeBron and Jordan Paris. Can you imagine if LeBron did have Scottie Pippen? How many more championships?
I mean, just think about it. He won a title with, like, the corpse of Dwayne Wade. Like, Dwayne Wade was clearly on his way down as a player when LeBron got to play with him. And, like, he won with him and, like, almost nothing else.
Cleveland is really not even, LeBron gets screwed everyone. Game two, though, screwed by Kendrick, but he's kind of getting Steph Curry's face.
Maybe. I mean...
Or so, obviously Curry's really, he doesn't, like, maybe that kind of added to Curry.
It just sucks to be playing.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no other way around it.
Do you think, though, I'm getting a weird vibe from maybe stuff on social media. Do you think Durant might leave? He knows it's not his.
I mean, if he went to Golden State to finally get respect, then he's fucked up because he's never going to get respect there.
Until he leaves.
Like, nobody is ever going to look at it as, oh, man, look, Kevin Durant, finally, he's a big timer. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, Dirk Nowitzki only has the one ring, but people look at Dirk Nowitzki in a way that they just don't with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Because he may only have one ring, but it was fucking his ring.
Well, isn't that kind of the Kevin Durant story?
Like, just a guy who's trying way too hard to, like, prove somebody. To the
and
point
just never
where, like,
kind of living up. It's kind of like that weird ochre. Like, I know Durant went with someone else's.
But he almost, it's like, it's worse to have did it. Like,
yeah.
He's the only person not self-aware enough to realize how that would go, winning a title with that team.
Because I think back to, the Rockets kind of losing state in the Western Conference Finals. Like, Harden, I thought, was kind of a legend. When they needed him most, he really didn't rise, level. And, like, is that kind of the curse with it? Where, like, none of them are ever going to kind of jump into LeBron, Magic.
Well, I just...
Because of circumstance or cause who they are with their makeup.
I just think in some ways, like, they just happen to all be playing at a time where there's better players.
Yeah.
And there's nothing much you can do about that.
But I, too, just wonder if that team ever... I just feel like all three of those guys, even if they're playing again. I guess
maybe.
You could say Durant didn't like Golden State. That's so different when you're playing with Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond and Steve Kerr,
Yeah. I mean, it's just Steph Curry is the second best player in the NBA, and LeBron is the first.
Yeah.
And there's just no room for anybody. Like, yeah, okay, you might, you're Kevin Durant, you can do all this stuff, but you're not better than LeBron, and you're not better than Steph Curry. Period.
Yeah, because, well, in the day, too, this Warriors team did it with that.
Yeah, you'll never be able to say, well, it's not like the Warriors were, like, one win away, and then Durant was the difference maker. It was like, you just made it where, like, it was impossible to lose.
For them to blow an improbable LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love again.
Like, you just eliminated the chance somebody else had. That's not the same as, like, well, you were the one who got them over the top. Like, you're not. Like, they were already there.
Yeah, his legacy is going to be fascinating because I'm not sure we'd say Kevin Durant. I think he's just Scottie Pippen, kind of, who never had his
Jordan. Yeah, I think he's also a guy who picked up some bad habits as a player because he had a shitty coach.
Yeah.
And, like, I think when he was with Russell and, like, it was like, wow, Russell's such a bad point guard because he doesn't distribute the ball enough and they don't get enough done and da 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 da. And it's like, well, not really. Durant just is a ball stop. If you have Durant on your team, you're suddenly going to run a bunch of, like, he's Carmelo Anthony with, like, a better public.
And I think a lot more.
He's not as shitty a defender. Like, he's a physical freak, so he can defend people a little bit more just by being 7 foot tall.
Yeah. He's more like a rich man's person. Yeah.
I think so.
Because, Melo probably has a title. I think his biggest issue was he landed, the worst culture.
Melo's big thing is that all he cared about was the dollar. Like, when he was young and his decisions would have mattered, all he cared about was money.
Yeah.
And so he ended up on, like, a fucking garbage play,
But...
And he made his money, and if that's all he cared about, then great. But, if he cares about legacy, and I don't know if he does, and I kind of think...
I think
that whole shit of, like, trying to get players to care about legacy is, like, a fucking bullshit that the bosses come up with to trick you into caring about something other than just, like, being paid.
People make fun of this, but, like, to me, his defining legacy is probably one of the best Olympic basketball players of all time.
Olympic Melo.
Yeah.
You'll always have Olympic Melo.
And, like, I mean, that's not the best thing in the world, obviously. I think we underrate kind of how great he's always been in that kind of Olympic style,
Well, it's because it's the only time he plays with teammates he respects, so he doesn't play hero ball.
Yeah.
Which it'd just be nice if he played that way with, like, regular players.
Yeah.
Like,
and Dan, because he's playing for.
I think it's less that and more that he's playing with, like, guys he.
Yeah. I think this. But I think, like, that'll kind of be Melo's. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, kind of done in the NBA. But, like, I think what puts him over the top in there is, like, an excellent Olympic player. And, like, probably the reason we. If you want to, like, really break it down, I'm not sure. Maybe we don't lose in 20 without Melo.
To who? Australia?
Didn't Australia keep it close?
Yes, but I just feel like until like Greek Freak like gets a second player, I don't feel like anybody's really got much of a shot.
Well, does he play for Greece? Is that what he did last time?
I thought he did, or did he play for Canada?
Well, no, he's from like Nigeria.
I thought he was from Greece, and then
grew up
in Canada.
He's from Greece, but he's originally from Nigeria. I forget. But no, I thought he came straight from Greece.
I did not know that.
But he was originally from Africa. His family was, and his I think his family was, and born they gave him a Greek and fit into society. But his parents are like he's got a little African.
Sure, the legend.
I'm not
himself.
Sure what that means.
To no one day, will ever understand what that means.
Uber driver, I don't know.
He's just got a little African in him. By that I mean
HIV positive. Maybe Durant like a Men in Black situation. There is like a little African man while Dang up inside.
It's the only logical answer.
Yeah. It's like the opposite of Dikembe Mutombo and Sai Lua. But any other thoughts kind of on NBA Finals? Like, this is over in what, probably five? Assuming the Cavs will get one at home. This Warriors team is underwhelming. I'm not sure they're good enough to...
I feel like LeBron is not going to allow him... But that's just almost based on, like, nothing. I have nothing to base that on. Just LeBron.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he should have won game one.
Yeah, but when you should have won a game and then you don't win it, that's almost getting blown out.
Well, I think though he'll probably get the calls that they're probably in Golden State.
You'd hope.
Kind of the ones we talked about earlier, and not even like the dumb timeout stuff, but just a little. Because, like, there are just a few calls down the stretch. And it's not because they're biased, just bad. That's the hard truth.
Yeah. I mean, part of the things that people don't necessarily talk about enough is that basketball is really hard to officiate more so than, like, baseball. You know, because you have all this shit happening in very fast
motion. You almost have to be, like, have Air Force kind of guy vision. Really get the game. Like, you need, like, 2020 NBA rep.
It's really, I mean, you're just having to pay attention to so much shit happening at once.
Yeah. And you've got to be really corrupt.
Yeah, you have to have a very big...
That's a big thing. Quick note before we kind of transition here, Dan. Delaware will be the first, state besides, New Jersey and Nevada, legalized sports betting.
That's extremely funny that, like, New Jersey spent all that fucking money.
And, to block like, they're it,
not
right?
Yeah. To win the ability for this to happen, and they're not going to get it first.
Like, Mississippi will have it.
You think Mississippi casinos are going to have the money to do sports books?
I think they're going to have to do the online deal.
It's going to be interesting because, like, there's a certain level of money that you have to invest in having a successful sport book because you've got to hire, like, some pretty, like, it's not, like, good sports handicappers are not cheap.
Yeah.
Like, people act like sports games is licensed to print money. It absolutely isn't. Because if you don't have, like, really smart people on your end setting the lines, who's your ass?
Well, then you have, like, good stuff. Like, if Vegas were to win the Stanley Cup, Las Vegas will lose a lot of money because of people just doing joke bets.
Because, like, every person in Las Vegas, like, every local was just like, oh, yeah, I'll throw, like, a little. Because Las Vegas had such, great odds, and it's, like, the hometown team.
Well, not just like, throw, like, it, yeah, throw
it'd
50
be like
bucks
if UNLV 12-0, and suddenly they had a chance to make the playoffs. Or if, like, the UNLV basketball suddenly came out of nowhere and went, like, 28-2. Like everybody in Vegas would be shitting their pants because, you know, UNLV, just by nature of being the home college, gets, like, a certain number of just flyer bets because they're right there in town. And, like, the Las Vegas hockey team definitely got a ton of flyer bet.
Yeah.
And if they win this thing, like, a casino might go out of business. Like, that's the reality.
I do wonder with legalized sports betting, are we going to see, like, maybe more state ownership kind of with, where, like, maybe do, like, a little state owns?
That would be very, very strange.
That's what I kind of want for Georgia. Because it's like, well, then you just take all the profit and, like, use it for education. There.
Everybody always says stuff like that, but it always ends up being fucked up.
Oh, of course. But
like, in North Carolina, we started an education lottery to help pay for our schools.
Yeah, we do that, too.
And then as soon as the state Republicans took over, I don't want to just sound like a shithead bashing Republican, but North Carolina Republicans, like, looked news up. We're especially terrible. Like, just to be dicks, just to be, like, assholes, they went and gutted all the money that went in, and instead of, like, the education lottery going to, like, build, like, buy textbooks and stuff, it just goes to paying janitors. Just to be assholes.
Yeah, we had a similar thing in Georgia, especially, like, in the financial, and, like, a lot of these Republicans didn't want to raise taxes, so you kind of had to, because property taxes dipped so much. Where they just gutted hope with the money to fund, like, $2,000, you know, $200,000 police cruiser in the fuck.
Yeah.
We waste money on.
Yeah, like, in our state, we used to have a teacher program where if you, like, agreed to be, you know, and agreed to teach for, like, 5 years, you got free tuition. They just, like, got rid of that for no reason other than to just be ass.
Yeah. It's, like, really funny, like, if you went back and examined stuff, that especially in, like, red states that Republicans did after recession, when, like, the answer was sucks for everybody. That's what you had to do. With especially, like, property tax going down, you just raise sales tax or income or whatever. What they did was just, like, gut a lot of programs that helped. You know, because, so, like, we're both in, like, good southern states.
And then they just turned us into Alabama.
Yeah.
Just to avoid having to, like, deal with the reality.
Yeah. Instead of just doing what was right. That's kind of what we ended up with. And there's your political rant for the week.
Yeah.
Which is, we're taking the hard position of maybe.
Yeah. That we're really super political.
Yeah. We're very leftist. It's pretty much communist. What we
A move over Chapo Trap House.
We're coming as the new hard left. Dan, but speaking of schools, really more private schools, I'm going to transition to this story from Baltimore. where one school has a kind of like a rich guy become the assistant head coach at I think it's a single A Baltimore Catholic, and is spending about $70,000 a year to send kids to that school from out of town and to make the football team much, much better. And they run into a situation now where a lot of these schools are pulling out because they're getting beat to 3 by them.
Which is very, very funny, which is like classic private
school. Yeah, classic private school. But like, it's kind of like one of those situations. I see both sides.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who went to a private school that like bought the best team that like they could, I totally get if like other teams in our conference, hey, we really don't feel like get beat 35-0 in a baseball game by 3 kids who were playing at the local public school.
Yeah.
Suddenly switched to this small private school conference because they got freaking under the table.
And I think too, like a lot of times when parents put their kids in private, especially for sports reasons, it's more so they can have more fun and not like around the
public school environment.
Yeah, or the national, where you're not dealing, you're just kind of having local fun with, like, kind of what sports should be, you know, just like good, clean fun.
good, clean fun.
You kind of run over, but I do also get the other point. We talked about our Noel Devine show where like, football, you can do a lot of cool stuff with, like it or probably bad reasons, you can't help a lot of young men out. Get them a better education, put them in a position, you know, because like, was it most kids that go to private school, I think it's what, like a 90 to 80% acceptance rate in college most of the time.
That is the one thing about privates is that they are like,
well, because it's a different degree, it's a college preparatory.
And a lot of these schools sometimes will have relations with colleges.
Yeah.
Where like colleges look at a degree from, or a diploma from those high schools and go, well, you know, this is like some of these like elite preps where it's like you go to those school, if you get your kid into some of these like elite prep, high prep schools and boarding schools and whatnot, like you're basically guaranteeing your kid is going to go to Harvard.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like if a kid can get into one of those schools through football, like he may not get into Harvard, you've just opened up a whole world.
Well, you might be going to, especially in Baltimore, you might be going to Georgetown at that.
Yeah, like suddenly there's
or
things
George
on
Washington.
The table.
Yeah.
There's things on the table for him that weren't there before.
Or Dan, even, you know, Maryland, which is like better than maybe like the state could have gotten in from public school. Because too, when you're doing private school, you know, you're putting the kid into smaller classrooms, more one-on-one time with teachers, probably tutors that are free. All that
great inflation.
Yeah.
The great inflation that usually goes to like rich kids, so because their parents will throw a fit if they get a C minus, you know. So like the worst grade you can get, like the most bone stupid person in the private school, like George W. Bush or John Kerry level stupid, you still get a C minus. Like that kind of grade inflation environment that like if you're a poor kid, you go to like a public school and you do bad in school, you get an F.
Yeah.
If you're the dumbest asshole in the world and you go to a private, you're still going to get that C-. It's just the way it works.
Yeah. So I kind of, it's hard for me to hate him with that. Like, clearly, is he also doing it? Yes. But are there benefits for it? Yeah. So I kind of get it on both sides that you more siding with. Who's really in the wrong? Or is no one in the wrong?
I don't think anybody's done anything wrong. Like, yeah. I think it's a perfectly legitimate thing to try to be good at sports, and like you just give kids a free education so that they can, you know, have a better shot at their future. And there, and he gets to win some ball games.
And I will say, Dan, I was private, it's a Catholic private school, but it was founded to educate the kids of former saints. Like their mission, the whole like literally over 100 years now, has been to kind of do this thing to help out, especially like, you know, lower income black people,
which is a noble goal.
Yeah,
and it's like
that's
totally valid. And I also get a private school full of like kids who maybe aren't that, like my private school was in a conference with like a school that had just started up called the Hebrew Academy,
mm-hmm.
and like they had just started their school from nothing, and like they got beat by everybody in this by like 100 points at whatever sport it was. Like they played basketball and they lost by 10 million. They lost baseball games. They gave up scores that didn't even true to them. Like, that you could lose that many. You could lose by that big amount. And it's like, yeah, I would totally have understood if that school had gone, you know what, we're just dropping. We're just going to find a new league to play in, because this sucks.
Yeah, because, like, high school's, like, that's why I do kind of hate the hyper-competitive nature of, like, national kind of high school programs. It's really just supposed to be fun for kids.
Like, we've taken a thing that was supposed to be like, hey, let's make sure, like, kids have a reason to exercise. Like, yeah. Let's make sure.
Well, and build some camaraderie stuff where you have a reason to get to know kids that maybe with your former schools in your community.
And especially with women's sports, that has become such a toxic environment because, like, obviously due to Title IX, there's, like, a lot of sports that have scholarships in colleges that, yeah. Like, 30, 40 years ago, nobody gave a shit about, but now those golden scholarships for, like, female sports can be, like, the thing that allows your daughter to go to college without getting $100,000 in debt. So yeah. Now they're the most important thing in the world is whether your daughter makes the golf
team. Yeah.
Which, like, who would have given a shit about high school golf 25 years ago? Nobody.
Yeah.
But now it's the most important thing that ever existed. And it's... You know, it's like, why, like, there's a definite argument to be made that we put way too much fucking time, energy, emotion into high school kids playing sport. But, like, you don't solve that by going, well, these kids are not allowed to be let into a high school. Because why? They're not really rich enough to be here? Like, what the fuck argument is that?
It's a bad, but, like, I feel like the solution here, though, is the school in Baltimore. Just go to a more national schedule.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what you're wanting to do,
do it. Be IMG. Do that. But don't get upset when these others be playing for fun.
Don't want to lose 100-3.
Yeah.
Like, what school wants to be beaten that badly? Like, yeah. who wants to sign up for that?
And at the same time, if these other schools and you're getting mad about Scott, shut the fuck up. How about that, too? Because, like, you can be mad that they're kind of ruining sports, but you got to look at, like, and work to fund. Like, then it kind of gets back to my thing where we have no, if we had good leaders, we'll go, well, let's find a solution that works for us. But instead, we all just want to bitch about everything and listen to the lowest common denominator. Who yells loudest?
Yep.
Because the solution here is, okay, you know what? We don't maybe want you in our division or conference, but we're going to help you find others in the interim. And we're not going to cancel games, but we need to find a group. But instead, we're all just going to hop on, like you said earlier, and just create more. Because no leadership from Gen Xers. You see it at every level. We fucking that's my hard rant on
that. That's the real problem we're hitting, is that Gen Xers are starting to become like the cultural leaders, because they're just at that point. Well, not necessarily cultural. They're starting to become the societal leaders because baby boomers are aging into that, like, grandpa age where it's like you can only do so much once you hit that age, and it becomes like the next generation. It's your job to stand up and be like the next societal leader. They're the dudes in the 40s and the 50s. Yeah. And like the whole thing about like Gen X, like their whole cultural existence is based on, nothing matters, who cares? Yeah. And now they're the leaders, so we're all fucked.
Yeah, and they won't be leaders for long, because, like, honestly, those are probably just...
Yeah, because they are a small gen, all things.
Yeah, which you'll end up having is... And that's then the point I wasn't going to try to make with it. What happens, though, like, with our generation, are we going to take sports seriously? Because, like, millennials probably were the first generation where high school sports and all that shit was really overdone. With AAU, or the traveling baseball, with all the... Are we going to kind of step back?
You know? I almost think that we're the generation we get... Like, that's when the piper gets paid. For years of commercializing sports and like trying to suck every last dollar out of sports, that didn't ruin things for older generations who've grown up with sports in a different context.
Yeah.
But when we're the ones who are like the big deciders, that's when the piper, like, this is when you face the consequence of literally making sports only about money.
Yeah.
And
or about fucking off, about 40-year-olds. What we've made it about, and when it's not, it's about the fucking app of the day.
Yeah, well,
you're not watching a game. I don't care who, if it's Steve Spurrier, whomever, Steve Kerr, Brad Steve. You're not watching the game because no one's ever done. Promise you.
No matter how much college basketball people try to tell you that they do,
no, that's a lie. They watch Duke. The players are always pretty good. The uniforms do. Same thing with UNC. Same thing with. It doesn't matter. When Mike Krzyzewski leaves Duke, that's the Harden thing.
That might not be the best example.
Oh, yeah, because they probably won't. Well, they built.
Because they were nothing before he got there, and they probably would go back to being.
I think they have a culture.
And all the coaches who come off his coaching. And all the coaches who come. Well, they're big states. Yeah. All the coaches who've come off his coaching tree are all like, that's also a problem.
So we're Brad Stevens when Boston finally realizes he's a really good coach.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily fair. I know there's like a certain of like. Longtime NBA writers hate Brad Stevens because he didn't come up through the NBA ranks. And
well, I think
the coaches like really, they talk to hate him because he's not one of them.
Aren't they all like NBA fans who just want him to?
It's like weirdly like it's like the dudes who like who were like always talking about like, oh, I talked to this one assistant coach and he gave me a great nugget. And it's like, because he was never come up through that system where he was like an assistant coach, you had to like buddy up to media to get his name up for jobs. Like all those dudes hate him. He's not beholden to them or something. It's a weird thing. Yeah. But like, I think Brad Stevens has done pretty good for a guy who's
pretty well
his best two players.
I will
this
say,
year.
Let's say they kind of overrated it. When you look through the East,
the East is bad. So, yes.
And honestly, second, Milwaukee had no coach. Like Milwaukee would be so much because you're going to see guys with, and I think Milwaukee, especially LeBron Lee, circle Milwaukee to maybe, because to me they were the second best, just talent wise. It's just they had their coach was awful. And they had no, there was no system, no code, no roles. They're going to be really more interesting when they're there. I think Budenholzer, I love him at the Hawks. So he does have some issues, especially with how he manages rotation, how defense, like especially in game. But in terms of building up a culture and a system, it's going to help Milwaukee.
I can see it.
Yeah, so I think we tend to overrate Boston this year when like, what was their run? They beat a 76 way overreaching. They barely beat Milwaukee, who had more talent, but had no five guys playing. So I think
they did take the Cavs pretty far for
they
a team
did.
That had,
the Cavs team's awful.
But like literally, team. like the Boston doesn't have a single guy who would
they
start on a world champion. There's not one guy on that who would start for
Tatum
that
probably
was playing.
Wouldn't.
Tatum would not start on a world champion.
I mean, I think you put him on the Rockets, they probably beat them.
He would not start. He would come off the bench.
Well, yeah, because
like he would not still be a he would not be getting starter he would not be getting starters on a team that won a world championship. He just wouldn't.
Well, I think in 3 years he.
But not it's
not this
3 years.
He's a rookie.
From now.
Yeah, he's. I mean, Al Horford. You put Al Horford on Golden State.
I don't think he'd start for Golden State.
Yeah, you play him at the 5-3. Curry at 1. Clay at 2. Because who else are you going to start? Did you play him over Iguodala? Like Horford at this point can give you just as much as Iguodala, whatever AI. 2.0.
Not quite AI.
So I think Al, I mean, he could start for the Cavs. I mean, he would have started the Cavs. That's over Kevin Love.
Yeah.
He's a better player. He's a smarter player. Nice.
All right, let's not rub it in.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been awful so far. But, like, what was the tweet I saw today about he takes so many bad shots? You're just like, how? I don't understand that.
Well, that's the way he always was with rebounds, too.
Yeah.
Like, before his back started going. Where you just look up and... You'd be like, oh, man, why does anybody want it? And then you'd look up and realize Kevin Love had, like, 57 rebounds. And you'd just be like, Jesus.
So, Dan, do you have any other sports stories you want to touch on?
Because
I have one.
Hit me with it.
Our boy, Phil Brooks.
Chick Magnet
trial
Punk? Officially, he was Chick Magnet Punk.
Is that what he said? Is it official? Yeah. It's on the record.
It's on the record after years of, like, trying to keep that mysterious. It's official. He was Chick Magnet Punk.
How is the trial of the century? I kind of want to get into this. You realize he has a UFC fight last weekend?
He calls himself a UFC fighter, too. That was the best part. Like,
it's
when
UFC
they asked him what his
power.
Job was, when they asked him what his occupation was, he said, comic book writer and UFC fighter. I don't want to, like, there's two podcasts on this network. There's a comic book show and there's a UFC show. But I feel confident offering this opinion that he listed two things as his occupation, both of which he's terrible at.
Yeah.
Because, the UFC people shit on him more, obvious, but I feel like low-key was worse at comic writing.
But didn't he get, like, a good comic?
They let him write The Thing, didn't they?
The Thing or something. Like, he got, like, a brand, like, a big name.
Like, they stunt-casted him and gave him, like, a big deal to write for, if my man.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
And it didn't even sell, but... That's all. Like, I don't want to speak to like Colin Sir, but he's got like a huge, like, 500-page opus about why Marvel is fucked up and incompetent when it comes to like selling comic books.
But, yeah,
yeah. I'm
but
just
at
gonna
the same
drop
time,
that
they're,
reference.
They're making
not the comic book end. Not the comic book side.
Well,
comic book side is loose.
Comic books are
the movie division. The thing that Disney runs is obviously a license to print money. Yeah. The thing that the comic book people are in charge of. Is nothing but utter failure. Like they keep losing money, and it's kind of hilarious because they're losing money off of like shit that has like major movies based on it, and they still can't like figure out how to make money. Like they can't figure out how to make money off of Spider-Man. Like, that's the position they're in right now.
What more can you do? I think the big issue though, like, I want to jump in. I think the big issue with comics is you just kept pushing the same characters because it made money. What can you fucking do with Batman after 50 goddamn years of it? You've killed him how many times?
Apparently the biggest issue is that they've never changed the way they ship comics.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still using like a distribution model from like 40 years ago that doesn't work anymore. Like I learned this from Collins. Did you know that if you buy a comic from a comic book store, it means nothing about whether that book be renewed? The only, literally the only thing that matters
is how many,
if they don't get like a certain number of pre-sales, the book is still,
and so
and it means nothing about whether.
So do like right wing Christian comic more? Cause like churches buy that shit up.
Yeah, probably.
Huh. We need to get into that.
But like, and
Jesus meets the Punisher.
That would be very popular in certain parts of
huge.
The world.
Blue Lives Matter, babe.
But like, you know, so like you can have like this cool comic that appeals to a different demographic than typical comic book. But if they don't push it for pre-sales, it's going to die because not enough people bought the pre-sale orders for it to matter.
And the hard truth is probably if you figured out how to do it.
Absolutely.
Because it's way easier to read a comic on the iPad, and it's also way easier to steal comics.
I mean, think about how many web comics are, like, very successful and have made money. And how many of them aren't even that good?
Most of them.
Like, most web comics are terrible.
Especially the video games.
Cyanide and Happiness, you're not a big fan of. That guy has become, like, a success win guy on
Wish is the just, one like, that had, like, the just, guy like, whose wife miscarriage.
Oh, that's Control Alt
Delete. Yeah, that's my favorite. That one and the one where the guy's talking about how it's like you want to come after the people every day.
That is Penny Arcade.
And
that
it's
is
like, no, you're still nerd. Like you're still like fat. You're still not a good, like, even if you're not fat, you're playing video games. Like yeah, like I'll just beat you up or like run around you. And I'm not even an asphalt. I'm just not scared of the guy who
saw me. Man. And then then there was the other famous one where, like, the dude, like, was dating a trans woman. And, like, she showed off, like, she revealed her genitals to him for the first time. He's like, oh, you're beautiful anyway. And it's like every trans person I follow on Twitter still makes fun of that to this day. It was, like, this the dorkiest, like, attempt to be woke.
Yeah.
They just, it's just, like, a constant of humor.
It can't be bad woke. Really, all woke. Can't be try-hard.
Anything but original. Original wokeness is black people realizing they should kill white people. That's cool.
Pro-white gender. Yeah. Which really means just
white
people.
We're really big. We're really big believers in that we're really supporting the white people.
I'm not.
Which I've never quite understood where.
Is that one?
Oh, yeah. That's what they're chanting in Charlottesville. You will not. Yeah, they think that the Jews are involved in a conspiracy to replace white
like
people
Israel?
With blacks and Mexicans. Yeah, that's the interesting thing about that particular country, who they're willing to get into bed with.
Oh.
But hey, go, you know, anybody wants to go look up the Lebanese conflict and see who Israel sided with in that little thing.
Or,
you know.
Did you see, I read a thing today where they tried to start weapon apartheid in South Africa.
Of course they did.
Wild and stuff. So before we get out of here, got anything else, pop culture, anything popped up? I saw this one. I got two things for us. One's the last point I'm going to make to define this podcast, because we're going to attempt something special. But the first one I'm going to make, I saw a point today. What if you did a crossover where John Connor from Roseanne marries Claire Huxtable, Mrs. Huxtable from the Cosby Show. Both their spouses have died. Brady Bunch. Cosby, just get rid of the problematic one.
It's a better idea than anything else I've
I would watch that.
Although the one problem there is that Rashad is strangely defensive.
That's right. Maybe you just bring back Malcolm and him and Sarah Gilbert.
Well, you gonna break up her and the dude from the Geek Show like that? How are you gonna do that?
I never watched it.
They were on the original show, sir.
Maybe him and Sarah Chalky.
What did they do to? Okay, so you didn't watch this. Is not fair.
No.
Like, what did they do to like resolve that of there being two Darlenes? Because I saw both of them were on the show. How did they?
Probably some weird meta joke. I don't know what they did because I never watched it. I'm not gonna watch a show about poor white people. What am I?
Yeah, I'm too busy watching Aspirational about like supposedly working class people who live in giant mansions.
Like Friends, where a coffee waitress can afford a giant apartment. And don't tell me she was. Other friend was a goddamn chef. She's not making that much. I think that's what
all,
Monica
let's
did,
let's just do all the old jokes from 1997.
What's the deal with airline people? But Dan, I want to hit my second. I'm gonna get a little political. Kind of news broke that Trump might kind of ban luxury German car. Guy we're familiar with owns a Mercedes. Nick Saban. So Nick Saban, we know you're listening, or maybe you're people. Nick Saban, run for president in 2020. Dan thinks you're a Democrat. I kind of buy it. You're down with the black vote. You can dance. We've seen that. You know all the hip dance. Why aren't you running for president? America's kind of where Alabama can save us.
Yep, we like you know America has definitely hit the point where Rich Rodriguez turned down the opportunity.
Yeah, but I think Nick Saban could get this country back in. He's going to be hard on us.
It's all about a process. Can America trust the Nick Saban process, long enough to make it?
I think
that's
we
the
can.
Big question.
If Alabama football can Canada, I'm going to trust the Saban process. So the Power Hour officially endorses Nick Saban. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Like the guy from National.
God. Well, there was two. There was like the one dude who was like an army guy who had like no anything.
Was that the one whose wife?
That was the National Review one. And then there was Evan McMullen, who was like a former CIA guy whose like whole job was like toppling governments for some reason. And like getting Al Qaeda people to work with us right before they turned on us like 10 years later. Like that's what he spent all of his time doing. And it's like, it just like literally like one of the most evil people you could imagine.
Yeah.
It's like,
but you
we're
know who's
standing up to Trump.
But you know who's not necessarily evil? Nick Saban. He needs to do things the right way. He seems to be an okay guy. By all accounts,
he's a big believer in second chances, so he's going to be the guy to give to help Robbie Mook fix his reputation. Robbie Mook is definitely the Lane Kiffin of politics.
Yeah, so let's do it, baby. Let's do Nick Saban. And that is that me as an Auburn? Maybe, but maybe it's me as an American and looking at who's the best man for this, the greatest college football.
Look, if a reality TV show host can win, then why not?
Saban's more
football coach you ever lived.
A black kid with a skinny black kid with a funny name become president.
Absolutely. God bless America.
So let's do it. Saban 2020. Let's get him to run. Oh, and how are we going to fix this country? This is how we're going to. The third practice is going to be special teams, just helmets and shorts, but still.
And really boring offense.
That's fine, because we got to play good defense. America should be about it of offense on foreign policy anyway. So Saban's going to help us there.
We really just start making the defense department about defense.
Yeah, we're running the 3-4, the Air Force. Three tanks, four planes. That's how we're doing. I like it.
Absolutely.
This is our podcast mission, Dan. We're on
I've never believed in anything more.
Yeah, Saban for peace. So,
the big issue is Miss Terry going to the White House, because she's really comfortable with their house in Alabama.
She is. Well, I mean, they can have both better than the current first dead, right? So. I don't buy those from now. That could have been anyone.
I still think she just left him and went back to New York, and they don't want to acknowledge it because they made her have to move to the White House in the first place because everybody was talking about how much money they were spending keeping her in New York, and she just said, fuck with it. I'm either divorcing you or you're letting me move back to New York.
Or as I saw on Twitter, probably for the same reason talk about me all the time, the Duchette. It's probably the hard truth. But I like pretending.
Like well, she's a former high price escort who married a rich dude and suddenly became has no actual ideas or beliefs or concerns.
What happened to uglies? Those were the best one. You think back to Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah, we've had three pretty girls in there's no way around that.
Yeah. I thought you were, but even she was serviceable. Nancy Reagan back in the day. Barbara Bush.
Hillary Clinton did have the benefit of following Barbara, who looked like somebody's great-grandmother, who was barely alive.
What about, like, Mrs. Nixon? Was Nixon married, even? I've never heard about
Nixon. Yeah, he beat her. He sent her to the hospital, and the media covered it up, because back then that was just normal, that a man beat his wife.
What a nice dark note to show on.
And on that note...
Yeah, fuck Australia, fuck the Queen, and apparently FU of the week goes to Richard Nixon, his wife.
And on that note, play the music.